Good to see you on a cold, rainy day. And I'm glad the spirit of Duvet did not win. You overcame. Let us just pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you that we can come into your presence and know that you love us. And you promised where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are with us. And so we welcome you here in our midst as we humble ourselves before you. We ask you, Lord, to reveal more of yourself to us. God, show us more of you and your kingdom and your desire, your purpose for us. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, 3 weeks ago I started with the series, The Mind of Christ. And we looked at Philippians 2 verse 5 that says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. As the NIV says, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So we were just starting as an introduction to explore what does it mean when God encourages us, commands us to have the same mind as Christ, the same mindset. It's very interesting that Jesus started his ministry literally with a very short and powerful message, the same one as John the Baptist did. We read here in Matthew 4 verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach to say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so what we see here is a very powerful message of repentance. And what repentance has to do with the mind of Christ and the mindset of Christ is very simple. In the Greek, the word for repentance literally means a change of the way you think. Change the way you think, for the kingdom of God is at hand. As a matter of fact, metanoia literally means that neo part, which means to exercise the mind, to understand, to perceive, to consider, to think. A meta is differently. So you need to change the way you think, perceive, understand, because the kingdom of God is at hand. And so 3 weeks ago, we started to look at what we meant to change to. What is our minds, our perception, our understanding meant to change from the world to what? And we looked at the fact that we are meant to change the way we think and understand towards Christ. What did he teach? How did he live? And so we need to change the way we think so that it will enable us to change the way we live. Jesus came to reveal who God is and the way for reconciliation with God. Very powerfully, that was the essence of Christ's purpose and message, is to come to reveal the Father and the way of salvation through faith in him. That's why we read in John 14, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Later on, Peter confessed in John 6, he says, you have the words of eternal life. You have the words of eternal life, and we have come to know and believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So we looked at the fact that we believe in Jesus' words because we believe who Jesus is. And that's where this change of mind starts, with our faith in who Jesus is. Jesus is the Son of God. Therefore, his words is true. And because his words is true, I can accept them and change the way I think to align with the way he thinks, the way he speaks. Not to think the way the world does, but to think the way Jesus does. To accept his truth, to accept his words, and to accept his way of life. And so we need to renew our minds according to his ways. And that's why Romans 12 verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may show the world that God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. And so that is the process of transformation. A change of mind leads to a change of action. When we start to think differently, we start to act differently. And when we start acting differently, our desires change to want to be more like Jesus. And when our desire change to be more like Christ, we ask God for His grace to enable us to become more like Him. And that's the process of transformation. First, we accept who Jesus is. Then we accept His words as truth. Then we conform our minds to His truth. And then we ask God for His grace to enable us to live His truth. And that's how we become more like Christ, through His grace and the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And that brings us back to where we are this morning. Philippians 2 verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Have the same mindset of Christ. So I want to start off with looking at the different mindsets of Christ. As Christ came into the world, what was His mindset towards us, towards the world, and towards life? And the first thing that comes to mind is the most important mindset of Christ, and that is love. The mind of Christ, the mindset of Christ coming into this world, was first and foremost, it was love. We are going to look at the different aspects of all the different mindsets, but the most powerful mindset of Christ is love. And we spoke a lot about this love, this agape, that the Word of God describes God's love. It is a love that is different from all the other types of love. Agape is a love that is not based on emotions or common interest, but an act of the will, so powerfully. Love is a mindset. It is a choice. God chose to love us. And that's a very powerful mindset in which He came into the world. It does not mean that God's love is void of emotions. No, there is emotion involved. But the root of this love is not emotion. It is an act of the will. It is a choice that God made. It is the most powerful mindset God has towards you and me. He chooses to love us. He chooses to love us despite ourselves. And not because of ourselves. Not because we are beautiful. Not because we are perfect. Not because we are obedient. He chooses as an act of the will to love us despite of. You know, we know John 3:16 so well. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It is a choice. A choice to love, a choice to have mercy, a choice to have grace. Love is a choice. It is a mindset. And it is not based on your works or merit. It's not based on how perfect you are. As a matter of fact, while you were still sinners, while I was still a sinner, God chose to love me. And He chose to love you. Despite your imperfection and your failure and your brokenness, God chose to love you. And He demonstrated that love through Christ dying for us on the cross, paying for our sins, so that we may be justified, so that we may be clothed with Christ's perfection and righteousness as we stand before Him. It is the good news of the gospel. It was not you, it was God. God first loved us and paid the price for our imperfection to justify us, to cleanse us, to make us righteous. I mean, Romans 5 says the following, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the good news of the gospel. God loves you, even though you are not perfect. God loves you, even though you're not perfect. Now, we can either accept or reject this love. The way you accept His love is to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. The way you reject His love is to reject Christ. But if you accept His love, if you accept Christ, you are justified, redeemed, saved, born again, adopted into His family, sealed with the Holy Spirit, in Christ, seated with Christ, co-heir with Christ, and have eternal life. God's love is generous. It is charity. It is agape, a choice to perform charity. And that is God's love towards us, over and above, abundantly, that cannot be contained. Justified, redeemed, adopted, sealed with the Spirit, being in Christ, co-heirs with Him, and having eternal life. Not because of you, but because of Him. And because of what He has done for us through Christ on the cross. God's love is generous, abundant, giving, literally, charity. It is grace, undeserving, it is sacrificial giving, it is a choice, a mindset towards us. Now, when God says we must have the same mindset, He is not appealing to our emotions. He is appealing to our will. When He says, I want you to have the same mind as Christ. I want you to love one another. He's not appealing to our emotions. He's not appealing to our reason or value of weighing up whether somebody earns, deserves, or have merit for it. Saying, I want you to choose to love as I choose to love you. He says, husbands, I want you to love your wives as I love the church, giving myself for her at the cost of myself. Husbands, I want you to love your wives. Fathers, I want you to love your children. Christians, I want you to love each other. It's all choices. God even says, I want you to love the poor. It is a choice. He even goes as far as saying, I want you to love your enemies. It is a choice. But most of all, God says, I want you to love me. I want you to love me. And if you really do, if you really love God, you will do all the above. Because you know that is pleasing to Him. That is who we are. Love is a powerful mindset, but it is a choice. Therefore, all these choices is also commandments. God says, you must love your neighbor. You must love God and you must love your neighbor. It is a commandment. As a matter of fact, to love God and to love your neighbor is a summary of all the law and the prophets. And then Jesus said in John 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you must love one another as I have loved you. It is a commandment. Why is it a commandment? Because it is speaking to our will and not to our emotions. It's not saying, when you feel like loving. No, He says, no, you must love. It's a commandment. Because I'm not appealing to your emotions. I'm appealing to your will. But we will not be able to love like God without God. We need God to love the way He loves. And that's why Christianity is a relationship. It's not a religion and rules that you need to obey, but a relationship that enables you to want to obey, a grace that empowers you to obey and reflect who He is. Why is that so important to understand? Because God is love. And this is a profound statement because God does not only have the capacity to love. God is love. It is the essence of who God is. He is holy. And He is love. And so we cannot love without the source of love. 1 John 4 verse 8 says the following, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifest towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we may live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Why did God love us? It wasn't because of us. We did not love him. He chose to love us because that's who he is. And then so powerfully he says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. How can we love? Because he loves us, and his love is in us. 1 John 4 verse 19 continues to say, we love him because he first loved us. You see, Christ came from the Father, and he came with the love of the Father. And Christ remained in the love of the Father so that we too can remain in the love of the Father. That's another sermon. But God did not only come in peace, he came in love. God came in love. The most powerful mindset of Christ is love. Agape love, a choice, a charity, a giving love, a choice to love. To love not the perfect, but to love the broken and the imperfect. And I want you just to close your eyes for a moment. I want you to think about this. God loves the imperfect and the broken. God loves you. You are imperfect and broken. And God chooses to love you. Not because you are perfect. You know, that is liberating. That is freedom. You do not have to earn God's love. As a matter of fact, you cannot. And you know what? He already loves you. The question is just, how are we going to respond? It is a choice. It is a powerful mindset to have, to choose to love, to wake up every morning before you start your day and say, Lord, today I choose to love. Help me. It's a powerful mindset when you choose to love, when it is the first thing that goes through your mind before you turn to your wife or you wake up your children or you go to work. You go into this world. Just like Jesus chose to love before he came into this world. And so he calls us to do the same when we wake up every day. Because it changes everything, doesn't it? With love comes lots of different things. It's a very powerful mindset. 1 Corinthians 13 speaks about this mindset. It says, love suffers long. And love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Thinks no evil, but does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hope all things, endure all things. Imagine what the world would be if everybody wakes up like this. Imagine all Christians wake up like this. That is what God calls us to. God calls us to have the same mindset. When you leave this building today, from the presence of God's love, and you go back to your homes, to your workplaces, to the world, I want you to close your eyes for a moment again. And I want to ask you to see yourself leaving this place, going back to your home. I want to ask you to see yourself going back to your workplace, seeing your colleagues, your customers, the ones you serve. Will you also see yourself loving them? Even your enemies. Father, I pray that you will help us. Grant us the grace to become more like you. The world so desperately needs Christians. It needs little Christs. In the midst of all the hopelessness, despair, anger, and sin, it needs love. It needs you in us. And so, Lord, we pray that you will grant us your grace to change and to have the same mind as Christ. How do we get this right? Well, it starts with accepting Christ, and we're going to have communion. If you are here for the first time and you have not received a cup, if you can quickly raise your hands, somebody will come. Okay. All right. Everybody will get the cup. He's all that is. I've got two. How do we get it right? We receive Christ. We receive him as our Savior. Our Savior from our own corruption, our own selfishness, and our own brokenness. We receive him as our Savior. And also as our Lord, the one that we follow. That is the first and most important step of changing. The second is we need to repent. We need to change the way we think. We need to not think like the world, but we need to think like Christ. And that's the powerful thing of repentance. And then we need to ask God. Then we need to ask God for his grace. We need to ask God to help us as we accept the way we need to change. Lord, we ask you for your grace. And then we need to go. And then we need to love. I found in my own life the most powerful moments of change is not when I accept the truth, but when I live the truth, when I actually do it. It's in that moment of actually doing what I believe that I experience God's grace, His presence, and a change taking place. And so I want to encourage you as we partake of communion that we first receive Jesus for who He is, the Son of God that came to save us. And then take that opportunity to come to repentance, to acknowledge our brokenness. And then to ask God for His grace to help us to change. And then commit ourselves to do so. Let's do that. I'm going to give you a moment. And then we're going to eat together and drink together. Just speak to the Lord. Father, we come to You this morning and we want to thank You for Your love, Your choice, while we were still sinners, enemies, broken and despised, You chose to love us. It was not just emotion. It was a choice to send Your Son. Jesus, thank You for loving us. Not with Your emotion only. But Your obedience to the Father. And Your choice to die for us. To become sin, to take all our imperfection and brokenness upon Yourself, so that we can come into Your Father's presence, to be adopted, redeemed, washed clean. Lord, may we never forget the cost as we eat together. Lord, thank You for Your blood that was shed for us to make us clean. Lord, we want to repent of our impurity, our selfishness, our fears, and all our excuses. Thank You that You came to wash us clean and give us life. Lord, we want to embrace You and Your way of life. Thank You as we drink this. Lord, we not only confess Your death and resurrection, but You being our Lord and Savior. We will follow You. Let's drink together. Grant us the grace. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You that You've given us Your Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives within us, that will give life to our mortal bodies. It will overcome the desire of the flesh and give us the victory. Is there a risk in loving like this? Yes. When you wake up tomorrow morning, there is a risk if you choose to love like He does. God knows that risk very well. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him, rejected Him, and killed Him. He knows the risk, but He was still willing to do it. He had another mindset. It's another sermon. But I want to pray for those who are here that has been hurt because you love. There is healing. There is restoration and renewal. And there is new grace, so that you can love again. Well, we just stand as I close in prayer. Lord, we thank You that we can be here this morning because of Your love for us. Thank You for already loving us. Even before we accept You, while we're still enemies and sinners, thank You for this grace. I want to give an opportunity for those who are here this morning who want to respond to that grace. Like that fruit that's hanging off the tree. It's Jesus. If you want eternal life, no, if you want God, you can have Him. If you choose to stretch out your hand and take hold of Him. And if that is you this morning and you want to surrender your life to Him, I want to give you an opportunity to do that just by stretching out your hand. Say, God, I want to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. If that is you, will you quickly raise your hand? Just between you and the Lord. And I give a moment because this is what Sundays is all about. It's an opportunity. Is there anyone who wants to respond? And then I want to ask for those of us who are broken, hurt because of the way we love and have loved in the past and how others have misused that. Maybe you realize that you are hesitant to do it again. I would love to pray with you. So I'm going to dismiss the meeting, and if that is you, if you would come forward, we would love to just pray with you that God will come and restore, heal and restore, so that you again can love the way He calls us to. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. May God bless you. If you need a prayer, we're going to be here. For the rest of you, there's some great coffee and refreshments. And we trust to see you next week. And remember to love. On the-